Hello and welcome to this Four Bars Rest All England Masters International podcast from Cambridge, where on Sunday the 27th of May, the 19th Championship took place at the Corn Exchange. The 2007 champions were the Foden's Richardson Band, conducted by Gary Kett. With me to talk through all 19 performances is Four Bars Rest editor Ewan Fox and British Bandsman editor Kenny Crookston. Let's start though by listening to some of Foden's winning performance of In Memoriam RK. Before we talk about Foden's, tell us a little bit more about this year's contest, and especially the test piece. Ewan?
Oh, well, it was a fine contest, we've got to admit that. Made all the better, even though it was a terrible day here in Cambridge, where it's been pouring down with rain all weekend. As I say, it made all the better by a fantastic test piece, In Memoriam RK, by Elga Howarth, and I think, Kenny, you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I agree totally. In Memoriam RK was a fantastic test piece for this contest. I remember Philip Biggs, when he told us way back in back end of last year that this was going to be the piece, he was very excited about it himself, and I remember thinking, well, that is quite a brave choice for a contest that has struggled in the last few years to regain its audience that it had in the years gone by. But I think everybody can congratulate the organisers on that choice. It really was terrific.
Well, the piece itself is over 25 years old. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, you're right there, it is. It's been around a long time, but it's been very sparingly used. And this is the first time it's been used on the contest stage. As I agree with Kenny, it was a really brave choice and one that worked tremendously well. However, it didn't work tremendously well with a great number of the bands and the conductors, who don't really seem to have done a great amount of homework about Kemper himself, who was one of the great orchestral conductors, wasn't he?
Yeah, I would agree with you there as well. You know, a lot of sensitivity required to play this piece. And for the bands that were up near the top of the results, the first seven or eight or so, I think you could say they were well deserved their positions in that top eight or ten. But some of the ones that were towards the bottom, I think there'll be a few disappointed bands and some disappointed conductors at their own performances.
A lot of them went for aggression, didn't they, which didn't really add up to much. The RK in that case could have been Ronnie or Reggie Craig. I don't think it wasn't Rudolf Kemper. It could have been Mario Kemper, really, the footballer, because none of them really got very close to it, did they?
No, there was just a great misunderstanding, and in one or two cases it really was verging on in the painful and almost offensive to the composer's wishes, I would say.
Okay, gents, let's start at the top anyway. Okay, start with Foden's.
Oh, excellent. We didn't have quite the Mirrors winners, but they're playing really well at the moment. You got to admit there, Kenny. They make a fantastic band sound, and they're well led by Gary Kett. You got to give it him. Whenever he comes on a contest stage, he does what he says on the tin. He's a great conductor.
He always delivers, doesn't he? And the band themselves, over the last couple of years, they're really back on form again. It's been a great year for Foden so far. They did well at Blackpool, the North West area. They stuck a good performance or two in at Birmingham, and they've done it again here. So,
after the disappointment of last year, how sweet will his victory be?
Oh, really sweet for them, because a lot of people thought they had won, and we did last year as well. They were a little harshly treated there. Again, though, they left the door open a little bit here. They had all the elegance and the graciousness, and then when the basses came in halfway through, it was dark and sinister. It had all the ingredients, but it did have little blips and blobs, some nasty little blips and blobs as well, didn't it?
Yeah, but it was general overall quality that won it for them in the end, I think. There was a lovely feel about the opening movement, which caused a lot of problems for cornet sections in general, but Foden's was one of the cleaner and more stylish of the cornet sections in an opening. But I agree with you about the bass section. The bass section at Foden's is really terrific right now.
And Lesnish picking up the solos prize.
Well, he picked £250 up from Four Bars Rest, God bless him, so you have to give him that. Yeah, they got a great bass sound, and mind you, on the day there was some fantastic tuba playing.
Especially from the Americans.
Americans had some great tuba, but it was marked dramatic, I think it's darkness that they wanted. A lot of the bands just over blue. But there was a need really to make it dark and sinister with just a bit of a brittle edge about it. Foden's really had that. And I think the other part with it is when they come to the end, is the last part of it is like a long goodbye and the last final chords. And for some of them, it was a blessed relief, as if it was like musical euthanasia.
Yeah, Foden's were one that controlled the end really well as well, though. Again, capturing the style. And you've got to hand it to Gary Cutt once again. He's done his homework on this piece and just got the style perfect again.
Now, Gary Cutt himself, he's worked with Elgar Howarth in the past. You spoke to him, Ewan. He was delighted.
He was delighted. Over the years, he's produced the results, whatever he's gone, whatever bands he's been with. He's known Elgar Howarth, I think, for over 25 years. And when we talked to him, I think he just revealed a little bit of the secret because of his knowledge of him as a musician, as a friend. Possibly that helped him out.
We've managed to catch up with Gary Cutt, the winning conductor of the Foden's Richardson Band, the 2007 Masters Champions. Gary, you must be delighted because it's a fine performance, and especially after the result last year.
Yeah, elated. Last year, obviously, I thought the band had done everything that was required. But not to worry, that's the way things go. I personally was very proud of the band, and it's one of those that you'll cherish. This year, a totally different challenge, isn't it, this piece?
Well, you've worked extensively with Elgar Howarth in the past, so did that give you any additional insight into what's a very difficult piece?
Yes, I think it did. I've had the pleasure and the honour of working with, I think, one of the finest musicians the band movement's ever had. And he and I have been... We've been close for many, many years as friends. And when it comes to Glossop, he stays in the fourth bedroom in the house, and it's called the Howarth Suite.
Is it a very large Howarth Suite? Is it? Yeah. Knowing how big your house is in Glossop, I would have thought.
So, he and I share a great friendship. And I've seen him do this piece maybe 3 times. Mm-hmm. It's such an emotive piece. He's such a passionate bloke about his music, and a bit of insight I think has helped.
What did you think was the essence of the piece? Because it is no real grip pyrotechnics like a modern test piece, and of course it finishes very, very quietly. Did you have to really rethink your approach to the way you had to play it?
Yes, I think one of the biggest things is the rubato. You can't play It Says Crotchet 69. You can't just play through. There has to be so much, I think, movement within it all. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a piece from start to finish that captures the imagination, I think.
Well, you certainly caught the imagination of the judges. They've given you the title for this year as well. You've had a great year so far. You've qualified for the national finals. You did really well at the European Championships. You've got the English Nationals to look forward to now. Yep. So back hard work again?
Indeed, yeah. I mean, we're defending that title as well. So the band are on high. I think the band are playing quality. It's thoroughly enjoyable at Foden's. And I think we've got a great year ahead.
Well, congratulations from Four Bars Rest, Gary, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day in what is a very wet and windy Cambridge.
It is. I'm actually travelling home on the ferries coach.
Oh, dear. That should be interesting.
On that note,
then,
I think we'll finish.
Thanks very much indeed, Gary. We let it go. Bye-bye.
Ewan Fox talking to musical director Gary Cutt. Now, a band like Foden's, it doesn't win contests without great soloists, and Mark Wilkinson again shone for the band.
Yeah, well, Les Nice won the Four Bars Rest trophy and all our money, but Mark Wilkinson was the recipient of the Robert Howard Memorial Trophy, which was presented to the principal corner of the winning band. He was most probably the best principal corner player on the day as well, and he's shown that in the European Championships a couple of weeks ago as well. He's been at the band, I think, close on 15 years now, but he's a tremendous player and playing better than ever, I think.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right again. It's not often we find so much agreement, but
I know that. It's a bit strange, yes.
Better put a red mark on the calendar, I think. But no,
we've only talked about one band.
I know, we're going to get... we'll soon drop out, don't we?
No, Mark's been a tremendous player for Foden's over the years, and I think, as we noted at the European Championships only a few weeks ago, I think he's the only original surviving member from their win in 1992.
I think, yeah, but the thing about him at the moment, he plays so solidly and securely. And, that was on show all the way through, especially from the opening movement where you have the opening part of the piece, which was marked elegantly and sweetly. And he was one of the real corner players, only one of the few corner players to do that, wasn't he?
And it was a piece that required real leadership from the principal corner player, if ever there was one. So,
and no doubt he was delighted when you spoke to him.
Yeah, and a very modest and very nice man to speak to, as always, and delighted for himself and also for the band.
Mark Wilkinson, who is the winner of the Robert Howard Memorial Trophy, which was awarded to the principal corner player of the winning band. Mark, you must be delighted for your own personal award, but also for Foden's Richardson band, especially after the disappointment of last year.
Yeah, I think the band are overjoyed with the win. The band were extremely disappointed last year from what a lot of people are saying about the results. We thought we played as well as we could have done, but in the end of the day, you win some contests, you lose some contests, and you just have to go along with the decision of the judges, which we accepted. But I think today the band were pleased with the way that they played. Also, at the European, the band was very pleased with the way we played at the European, and also at the area. So I think the band's on a bit of a high at the moment.
Difficult piece. It's not the usual crash, band wallop sort of thing in Memoriam RK. How did you think that the band approached it? Was it totally different to what you had done at the Europeans, for instance?
I think it's probably very similar in a certain way to the Middle Moon to contest music, which is probably a good practice for this, the quiet, controlled playing. And I think it just shows a test piece like this, you don't have to be playing millions and millions of semiquavers and super notes for a test piece to test bands. I think this has been an extreme difficult test for the bands, and I think it's also been a good, enjoyable listening piece for the supporters as well. So I think overall, I think we was quite pleased when the test piece was announced, but because we previously played the piece, we did know that it would be extremely difficult to pull off, especially on contest conditions as well.
Well, it's been a decent year so far for the band, and now you've got this win. You've got the English National Championships coming up as well, hopefully to retain that title, and then the British Open and the National. So plenty to look forward to for Foden's.
Yeah, it's a very busy year for us. I think we would have done 6 contests by the end of this year, but the band enjoy doing the contests, and you're only as good as your last contest preference, so I think it's just back to working hard. The band have worked extremely hard for the Europeans and also for this particular contest today. We did a CD last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which took up a lot of our preparation time. But overjoyed, over the moon, and looking forward to English Nationals and also, like I said, the Open and the Nationals and Spennymoor.
Ewan Fox talking to Mark Wilkinson. Let's move on to second place then, and Carlton Main Frickley Colliery conducted by Russell Gray.
Good one for us, I got to admit, yeah. It really was. The one thing we'd have to say as well, we nearly scuppered their chances right at the start because our photographer was walking through the door just before they were going to play the first note, and it was a real creaky, it was like saying an Amateur Horror Film, wasn't it? The creaky door, wasn't it?
Russell had his hand actually poised at the top of the upbeat, ready to bring them in, and there was a creaky door right behind us. So.
Give us a nasty look, he did, but they, thankfully for them, they didn't start, but when they did, it was lovely lyrical play and elegant. The other real top-class corner player, that Kirsty Abbas, wasn't it?
Yeah, again, led by a really top-class player. She has just proved over and over again over the years that she is up there with the very best tournament there have ever been.
She never fails to disappoint, does she?
Oh, no. And the thing about it is, it's like listening to a young Philip McCann playing a beautiful corner tournament.
Very reminiscent of the young Philip McCann, and obviously there's a link there, as she was taught by him at Huddersfield, but she led that line superbly again.
But it was a good performance musically. Way Russell Gray really does search the music in the in the pieces. Sometimes there's a couple of technical errors here and there, you know, but it's always the music that comes through.
But it was a very clean overall performance as well.
It was. I tell you, it was good as well for them. It was the soprano player for them as well. She had a real cracking day for them.
Really?
You could see on his face then, he knew then that things were going really well for the band.
Nobody let them down at all. And I actually spoke to Russell just seconds before they went on the platform. And he was very, very confident. You can see he's done a lot of hard work on this piece with the band.
Band going in the right direction as well, didn't they? Because they've had a great result. I think, was it British Open? They came fourth, something like that, late last year.
Sixth. They were sixth at the British Open. They were fourth at Bradford, I believe. Again, two good shows. And they were up there at the Scottish Open as well, when they did Vienna Nights.
So. Glory days are coming back for Carlton Main, I think.
Expectations for them then later in the year at the Open?
They'll do well at the Open, I think. It depends, again, what the piece is like. If it's a real musical piece, such as... I don't think there'll be a piece quite like this again, and not the Open. But if it's a piece that's full of music, there'll be a band that really feature, I think.
Yeah, they do have some real strengths in there. And if they manage to retain Russell's services for that event, I'd certainly look at them as being a real contender.
On to third place, then, and Rothwell Temperance with David Roberts. A good defence of their title, Kenny.
Yeah, this was a tricky one for Rothwell, wasn't it? It's been an interesting 12 months for them. Since their fine and well-deserved victory here last year, they haven't had the easiest time. They've had a couple of disappointing results at the Open National. Played well at Bradford, but they really did deliver a classy performance again here. And
a piece
Cambridge,
that suited them.
Yeah, and again, a conductor that had done his homework, so he was right on top of the test piece there. But the band really stuck to what he was trying to do with it, and fair, a lot of credit to Rothwell. They can look back happily at this weekend once again.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, if there was a prize for hard work, they would get it all the time. They would be in the prize. They really have sounded as if they were well rehearsed, didn't they? And I think you were right, Dave Roberts. He didn't do anything, no histrionics. It was just a very straightforward account. But his players really do work hard.
Yeah.
It lacked a little, possibly a little touch of finesse in places, but really solid quality playing, high quality playing at that.
I mean, you have to also remember that they've achieved that result from a number two draw, which never done them any favours at all, but they certainly were the first performance that grabbed us, weren't they?
Yeah, I think congratulations to them, especially to the conductor as well. They're a good band in the making, a really good band in the making, in fact.
And behind Rothwell, Scottish Co-op with Alan Ramsay.
Yeah, and there's always one performance that creeps in without under the radar, so to speak. And this is the performance for us on the weekend.
Not the first time Alan Ramsay's done that.
No, he's got a fantastic knack. I've got to give it him. He's got a fantastic knack of getting his bands into the prizes. And he did it here with a performance that really didn't light up the hall at all. But it was solid, workmanlike. Nothing quite wrong with it, was it?
I think workmanlike's the key there, and you've got to also remember that they were very light in the cornet section.
There were two
cornet players down, one in the front, one in the back row. So that obviously put the ones that were there under a lot of pressure. And they did handle it pretty well, but the number of slips that went through the performance, cornets, horns, there was a funny noise came out of the trombone or baritones later in the piece that sounded pretty much like a wrong note to us. But again, the big picture was pretty well produced by Alan Ramsay.
You've got to give it him, though, haven't you? He's got the knack of getting prizes.
He always gets hit in there, does he?
Yeah, I'd have to get the lottery numbers off him for next week, I think.
Moving on to fifth place then, and the current European champions, Brass Band Villebrook, with their musical director, Franz Violet.
I've got to admit, yeah, we're going to disagree, me and Kenny, on this one. I didn't think a great deal of Villebrook on this.
But still good enough for the fifth place.
It was a musical reading with plenty of high-class playing, but it had such an error count in it. And from quite surprising sources as well, they must still be celebrating their European win, because it seemed like a performance that was a cloud of a hangover about it.
I think Villebrook, to me, they're a tremendous band right now. The last couple of years, they've continue to prove it, especially at the European Championships.
But not here, though, are they?
Well, I think they did all right here last year as well. A bit unlucky last year. And the year before, they were certainly down on personnel. But this time, I have to disagree with you. I still think they were very, very high up there for me, despite the uncharacteristic mistakes from Ralph van Leeuwen. And when I spoke to him after the performance, he was personally disappointed.
It wasn't quite just only him, was it? It went around the band a little bit as well, and he started well enough, but it never even sounded as if he was going to be in the top three for me, I got to admit.
There were some real classy moments, though, especially once it got gone. The ensemble was terrific, really, really tight. The basics of good playing are throughout the band for me. Led by a great musician in Franz Violet.
Mm. Oh, I agree with you with that.
I think people sometimes look at Willebrook and think he can be a bit over busy, a bit involved sometimes.
Well, didn't you think that at the end, especially where the last goodbye was like as if the patient was waiting for all the relatives around the bed? It took ages to finish.
Yeah, but ask David Reed what he thought of it. I'm sure he thought Franz Violet would have looked terrific if he could have seen him. But I think we sometimes become confused by what we see rather than what we hear.
Do you think it was a band that was missing its a few key players? Bert van Tienen wasn't playing, was he?
Yeah, but Bert van Tienen was playing. He is a fantastic soprano player. But the chap that they had in, he played really.
Yeah,
he was a good depth, wasn't he?
They had the player from Brass Band Metropol, one of the second or third best bands in Belgium. He did a cracking job for them.
Yeah, but I think he was the exception to the rule, because most of the other ones had a day where they had too many slips, and that's the reason why it came where it did. I don't think it really deserved to come any higher.
Are they a band that performs better on a two-day format, a bit like the European?
Well, if you look at their record on the European, their Friday night performances have been absolutely terrific over the last few years. They haven't always delivered on the Saturday when they've possibly felt under a bit of pressure. That may be the case here.
I think we'll have to... The jury's out a little bit. I think if we hear them at the British Open, because this contest comes quite quickly after the Europeans for them, and I think it ties in with the education time, where they have exams in Belgium and stuff like that. But that's making excuses in many ways. They didn't play particularly well for me. Okay, they got fifth place, but I think it raises the eyebrows a little bit for the top bands in Britain.
It's the cream rising to the top, though, isn't it? Despite the handful of mistakes that they did have. Too many mistakes to win, I do admit that.
Yeah, I don't think we've heard the best of Villebrook here at Cambridge yet, have we? Possibly next year.
Well, one thing for sure, if they do come and turn it on, the rest can be worried.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on to sixth place then, and brass band Rheinmond. A well-deserved place for them.
It was a well-deserved place for them. A very interesting performance, and very interesting because they had some fantastically pretty girls in the band, which were always well worth mentioning. But they also had a fantastic conductor.
One of the best of the day, I would say. Really stylish performance from Erik Jansen, who's somebody I've actually never seen conducting before, or certainly ever taken any great notice of. But given a great piece of music like this, he really showed what he was worth.
It was a bit different, wasn't it? It wasn't quite like a British performance. It was like almost European performance, wasn't it? Very elastic in what he did.
Yeah, it was kind of symphonic in style as well. But Rheinmond are a band that are sitting there with a lot of good players throughout there.
It was like a deliberate emphasis, it was, on the way in which they played. It was something about it stuck in the mind, and you didn't really know why.
But it was a performance full of drama.
It was, and right to the end as well, where it was drawn out in the final goodbye in the horns. It was like the dying relative giving a little wave goodbye before she slipped into the ether. It was really well done.
It was terrifically controlled at the end, wasn't it?
It was a good performance and well deserved to come to prizes, we think.
And one that left an impression on us, certainly. And even at the time, the number 8 draw, I'm pretty sure we were predicting that they were going to be in the top 6.
Yeah.
Outside the top 6 then, and two performances in 7th and 8th from Desford and Fairies. I know they caught your ears, but not the adjudicators.
I think you may be a little harsh about the three adjudicators, John Miller, Alan Morrison and David Reed there, but they were two real classy performances. Desford in particular, for us, we had them as winners at the end of the day. Top class playing, great interpretation from Nigel Seaman. He's a bloke who plays, you know, he's an professional orchestral musician, but he really understood what the music was about.
It made a terrific impression on us early in the day as well, didn't it?
And another great solo corner player, Dave Smith, so tasteful in what he did. But the rest of the band followed his lead, but it was elegant conducting, it was, and that elegance really, you know, permeated his way through from the beginning of the performance right to the end.
Yeah, and if you think about it, in Desford over the last 12 months or so, I've really found terrific form, and to me this was their best performance for many years, I would say.
Well, they're a settled band now, I think, and they used to be a bit of a mystery band, nobody knew what they would have to do, but now they're a settled band here now, and they've shown their class, haven't they?
Well, there were these horror stories about them having 200 players in their books, and they just over 25 are available they would use. I don't believe it for a minute. But they have become very settled. Same faces are turning up there every time, but they have real class.
So if they were so classy, why 7th?
Possibly the interpretation, but it was an orchestral possibly interpretation more than anything.
But there was nothing wrong with it.
To us, even though it was an early draw, it was drawn number 4, but it really did make the mark, and I didn't think really that the band quite touched them on the day. It would have been a close win for them. You can see why possibly it came down a little bit further down the list, but I think they were hard done by to come 7th.
Yeah, I agree with that. You can understand and why it may not appeal to everybody's taste, but top 6 for us, definitely.
And Fairies?
Well, Kenny knows more about Fairies than I do with that one.
Fairies were a real disappointment for me in terms of the result. Again, a band that's not had its problems to seek recently, but Major Peter Parks in front of a piece like this.
It was like rolling back the years, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fantastic watching him again. It was like watching him when he was in his mid-40s or early 50s. It was great. Possibly a bit more reflective in style, and the start of the piece in particular was really drawn out.
We understand that they possibly had them for being a little too spacious at the beginning, that the marking says circa, I think it's 60 to start and goes up to about 69, 70, whatever.
Yeah, David Reed did comment on that at the end, and that you can understand that the reason that it may not have been in the top 2 or 3 for that reason, but there was terrific playing from Fairies, but more than anything else, the style that the Major managed to put into the music was unsurpassed on the day for me.
It did have the little bips and blobs as well, didn't it? There was a few entries that didn't quite work.
Yeah, there was one or two. The soprano player had the top B near the end. He was in a bit of a struggle with that one. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, I mean, as a balanced performance, it was still one of the very best of the day.
It was nice to see as well. They had Brian Taylor, who used to be the principal corner there for Donkey's years, wasn't he? And he liked working like Peter Parks. He was like Roy Keane to Parks as Ferguson. Everything that he communicated, it went through him.
Yeah, he's a stable influence in that corner section. Mm. So, but yeah, Fairies back on form. Great to see the Major still able to produce it. He just keeps going and going and going. And let's hope that he gets plenty more opportunities with a piece like that.
I agree with you with that. It was great to see.
Places 9, 10, 11 and 12 then, displaying the true international flavour of this event, bands from the States, Wales, Scotland and Holland, starting with 9th place, Fountain City.
Yeah, this was the surprise package for us, I think. We didn't really know what to expect from the American, North American champions, just recently crowned. We should have known what they were going to deliver when we heard them warming up behind the stage. We don't hear that very often, do we?
No, you don't hear extended 2.5 minutes of half the piece just before the band comes on.
But I think they spoke to Philip Biggs and said, is it okay if we have a quick warm-up? And he said it was okay. So
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, really, as an idea, because it just gives all the bands... If it occurs to all the bands, it gets their lips in, especially at the beginning of a piece when it was so quiet.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difficult hall, though, isn't it? It's not really any warm-up rooms.
No, it's a dead old acoustic as well. And for a band like that who's coming over here, it's not giving them an unfair advantage. I just think it's being fair to them to say, look, you know, this is what you've got to contend with.
Yeah.
So a well-deserved result for them.
Oh, yeah, and they're a good band in the making as well. Over the last couple of years, they've changed their sound. Great tuba section they had.
Fantastic.
Oh, what great players they were.
Yeah, the cornet section sounded a bit strained at the start of the piece, but as the things went on and warmed up a bit, they actually did play quite well. But the one thing that really impressed me, other than their fine conductor, was the sound made by the horn section, which you don't really hear quality like that, you don't expect to hear too much quality like that coming from American bands. They've really captured that well.
Oh yeah, they're an improving band, and it was nice to speak to their conductor, Joe Parisi, after the band had played off stage.
Joe Parisi, who is the MD of Fountain City Brass Band from America, you must be delighted. You had an excellent result coming in 9th here today. What were your impressions, first of all, of coming over to Britain to play against the cream of the best bands?
First of all, just humbled, because I looking at the lineup of bands, it's amazing. And to just have the opportunity to be here and perform, and then to hear such musicianship, humbled, delighted, splendid. I am speechless. We've had a wonderful day.
And what did you think of the actual test piece itself? For brass band aficionados, it's a slightly different work because it hasn't got the great crash band wallop pyrotechnics
absolutely.
In it. It's slightly different. Did you enjoy working on it with the band?
I will tell you, you're absolutely correct. And being that we're a band that's only 5 years old, we've mostly done the pyrotechnic pieces. And so this band is very accomplished at that. So to take In Memoriam with our group, it made us grow immensely. Personally, as musicians, everybody had gigantic progress, individually and as a group. And it's a lovely piece. You have to really work to keep the flow and the energy and the musicality and to make it unique. And that's what we tried to do with an American flair, I guess.
The American scene is growing. We've been over there the last couple of years to see the U.S. Open. You won the North American Brass Band Championships earlier in the year. Do you think that the brass band scene there is now developing really at a quick pace?
I truly do. The standards are continually increasing. And the literature is just wonderful that you have that opportunity. As you know, I mean, the wind band movement is large in the U.S., and brass players are always wanting a little more meat, a little more technique, a little more nuance, that they can do it all. And we've been able to do that through wonderful composers that are writing in the last 10 years for brass band, as you said, because this piece really tested that finesse and that musicality and that ensemble flexibility. And so I think the U.S. has done a good job at adapting what they've done so well here, really.
And finally, when did you actually come over here, and when you go home? And are you enjoying the sights of... I know Cambridge is wet this weekend, but you must be enjoying the sights as well.
I think some people went punting, as they call it.
All right.
We arrived on Friday, and then we'll be here till next Sunday. We will do 3 more concerts, one in Glasgow at the college there, and then one with the Bolton Youth Band. I mean, we're looking forward to this opportunity. And now that the competition is over, we'll pull out some of the literature for the concerts, pull out the Paganini variations that we did at the North American Brass Band Championships, and have a little more relaxed fun and enjoy music making beyond one piece. So... we're looking forward to it.
Well, many thanks for taking the time to speak to Four Bars Rest. Congratulations to the band, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of your stay here in the United Kingdom.
Well, thank you.
Many thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much.
On to 10th place then, BTM from Wales.
Yeah, always nice to see a Welsh band doing well in England. What we'll have to say about this one, first of all, it was Jonathan Pippin, the solo trombone player from Brighouse and Rassic, was playing second horn for BTM. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
Never noticed that one at all.
Yes. He was playing on trombone. I think that was the giveaway. That may have been a giveaway with that. But it was a good confidence show by them. I've got to admit, over the last 6 months since Jason Katsagaris has been there. They're a different band.
He's done really well with them, hasn't he?
He has. The only thing I would say for him in this piece, however, he does tend to conduct every quiver.
He's a very busy conductor, I'd say.
And I think if he had just stepped back a little bit on this one, because all the solo players were playing really well, I think he would have come higher up. We had them just around 6, 7, 8, whatever.
He's not the only conductor guilty of that this weekend.
No, and fair play to him. There was a couple of car crash conductors in some cases, but you know, he is a talented bloke. But if you just step back a little way on this one, I think it may have done them a world of good.
I think you'd see them doing really well on the more fiery Philip Spark type pieces.
Yeah, I think later on the year, especially at the Nationals, I think they could be a band to look out for.
And behind BTM in 11th place, Kirk and Tillich with Nigel Boris.
Yeah, I think Kirk and Tillich could be slightly disappointed with this result. Early draw wouldn't have done them any favours, but I think Nigel Boris captured the essence of this piece pretty well. A few technical errors along the way, there was a couple of slips in the cornets, trombones towards the end, just struggled a bit, and percussion, tuning in the percussion was slightly dodgy in places. However, as I said, Nigel Boris, right on top of the music, as you
yeah,
would expect.
I agree with you with that there, yeah.
In 12th place, Solly Brass.
Yeah, decent performance. Too many insecurities cost them dearly, I think, all the way through. It was scrappy to
go. It did get better as it went on, though.
It did, but it wasn't really elegant playing. It, again, even when it came to the last sections, the darker moments were pretty good. But the last section, the long goodbye, and there was a bit of cough and splutter, and the old person didn't really want to leave this life, did they? So that possibly cost them. But again, encouraging performance. I think that they do well if they come back again. Good experience for them, I think.
Yeah, I think they've improved since last year's European, apart from anything else.
On to positions 13th and 14th then, two bands from the west of England, Polysteel and Woodfall. Starting with Polysteel, this might sound a little bit harsh, but is this the best and worst of Polysteel within a week?
Yeah, well, I was a bit sympathetic to them. I thought that it was understandable, really, because they were excellent last week and really done all the work to get to the British Open. But today, it was a poor performance. But I said it was understandable, but I think Kenny's going to disagree with me.
Well, it was almost as if anything that could go wrong did go wrong, wasn't it? Right from the very start, it was the cornet section were in complete disarray.
But it sounded underprepared.
Well, you can say it sounded underprepared, but you know, put them. Polysteel are a band that have moved forward quite a bit in the last couple of years, and if they want to be competing at the very highest level, and if you think of the European Championships as being the highest level, mm-hmm. they'd have to do two test pieces in the space of 24 hours. Put them in that scenario, and the way they've got the two test pieces within a week, I think they'd have to be really, really disappointed with that one.
I don't think it really suited Philip Harper's usual approach to it.
It didn't seem to be as involved in the music as he normally is. You know, he was very passive, I thought. But no, you could tell the disappointment on the players as they were leaving the stage. They were fully aware that they had underperformed in that one.
Yeah, they got the British Open to look forward to, but you know, you must. I agree with Kenny. Go on, I'll say that if they are going to be a real top level band, then they should be able to play these type of test pieces. They had plenty of notice of what the piece was to work on it as well. But I'm being sympathetic to them on this occasion.
That's good grace from you.
I know.
Moving on to Woodfalls, then with Nick Giles.
Poor performance. Nothing more really to be said about it. Good stylish reading by Nick, as always. He does understand Elgar Howarth, and he worked with him over the years. But
yeah, I think the band were just on the edge of their technical capabilities, though, weren't they?
It was. It didn't really sound. It might have started confident to start off with, but then it just was high error count, and after that, then it fairly well went downhill. We do have to apologise, however. It was scrappy entries that we did mention in our in the live podcast, and we didn't drop the consonant to make it crappy entries. So our apologies to the band there. But overall, it wasn't a great one. So, and I think possibly they got what they deserved on the day.
We're into the bottom five places then, headed by Redbridge.
Yeah, they can count themselves a little bit unfortunate, I think. They finished off the contest as the last band on, and it's about the best performance we had Redbridge for a while. Really well led by Melvin White.
It's almost like the opposite of what happened to Polysteel, because Redbridge were really disappointing last week in Blackpool, but they've pulled out a really great one yesterday.
It makes you wonder then, doesn't it, how much work the band's actually doing preparation for?
Well, it might be a matter of priorities, I don't know. Maybe they've just had a better week's preparation or just been on better form on the day. But Redbridge, I was very impressed with them.
Yeah, I thought they would be touch unlucky to come 15th.
And a good performance from Melvin White as well.
He looked like he understood the music, and he let the music flow all the way through as well. So I don't know where they got picked up, possibly tuning in some places perhaps, but they can count themselves a little bit unlucky there.
I mean, the other one that was a bit unlucky there was Old Boys, first Old Boys from Ireland.
Who came 18th.
Yeah.
Yeah, another one whose conductor had done his homework. You know, he may not have had the best band in the world sitting in front of him, but certainly a sympathetic musical performance.
Ah, they could be coming over here now in the last couple of years, and they've improved. And I think it shows that when a band like that comes over to play against better class opposition, they really pull themselves out to play well.
They are playing at a higher level now, much higher level than they were 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think they came 15th last year. They may have only came 18th this year, but they were a much better band this year. And I think they should take a lot of credit. And I hope that they are invited back, because I think it's good for banding in general that bands like that can come over, play at a contest like this, because they can only improve by it. And, you know, nice to see it as well.
And not at all patronising.
And not at all.
Okay, unlucky then for Redbridge and First Old Boys. Not so unlucky for Hepworth in 16th.
No, I'm going to leave this one to Kenny to have a go on this one, because some people tend to think
I don't like the term have a go there, but, you know, I think Hepworth certainly left ourselves open to some serious criticism on this one.
Totally missed the... I think they're a talented band.
Good band.
Yeah, and they got a talented MD, but they completely and utterly...
It was just misunderstood, the whole concept of it. I mean, In Memoriam R.K.
This was the Ronnie Cray In Memoriam.
This was the one, yeah. And there were some moments in there you were just wondering what on earth was actually going on.
Powerful cornet section, I think, and I think that was the problem here. When they were so powerful that it actually gave everything a hard and harsh.
The sensitivity was just completely gone that we did hear in the bands that did well. Mm. And while the error count for Hepworth was actually pretty low.
You know, what they did well.
Yeah, they did. It was a band well capable of being in the top six or even higher, but the approach to the music was just completely off the wall for us.
I think as I said at the time, it was In Memoriam Lemmy from Motorhead at times. It was that. It did hurt at times, didn't it? You've got to admit.
And there was a moment actually towards the end where the timpani solo comes in, and
I thought you were ripped to skins.
It was like a pneumatic drill solo rather than a timpani solo.
You know, possibly they have to go back to the drawing board on this one. They'll do really well. Yep. They'll do well at the Open. They'll do well at the Nationals. Yep. And they'll most probably have a fantastic year. But on this one, I think it's down to...
A different approach required.
Yep, totally missed the boat on this one.
And slipping in 17th place, Aveley Newham.
Yeah, and another terrible performance, got to put it.
Well, they were unlucky to draw the number one, but never settled from the start, did they?
They didn't settle, I think. It's difficult to be critical of conductors, but it doesn't help when you've got a conductor, CD being conducting, semi-quaver.
Very busy.
Subdivided everything, didn't
it? Well, subdivided everything. Carl Vorderman couldn't subdivide it better than this one. It was, everything just seemed, and in the end it just became so stilted, it had no flow to it, no elegance to it. It was either that the band didn't understand the music or couldn't read it, or
it was a real disappointment for a band that has, in the last couple of years, it's established itself at a higher level. You know, it's got into the British Open.
But since they've been in the British Open, they've been awful.
Well, maybe been slightly harsher, but, you know, certainly this one was certainly not their best day, was it?
Yeah. I think, well, if they had a day to draw, I don't think it would have been much better. I think they've got a lot of thinking to do about how they approach it.
Another band that's in exactly the same position as Ridge Verde.
We'll come on to those. They were bottom, weren't they, last place, and deservedly so.
I think so. I don't know what's happened with Reg Vardy, but a couple of years ago they could have won the national championships at the Albert Hall. And I mean, we'll agree with that. They could have won it.
They were very good. All the Flowers of the Mountain, it was a terrific performance. But since then, it seems to have just been a gradual slide towards where they've reached it right now.
Well, more than the slide in the last couple of times they've been playing, and it's just...
But the cornet section at the start of this one, it was almost like a section in free fall.
And the approach was good, wasn't it? Ray Farb went for a real lyrical and broad approach.
It did.
Just everything that could go wrong went wrong for them.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have much confidence about their playing, do they?
So many clips everywhere, right throughout the band, you know, and they had a real disaster in the horn section towards the end. And you just knew this was one of these days where they were going to be.
I think we said at the end it was a blessed relief when the final goodbye came, as if somebody pulled the life support machine out. The person just had to go, because any more than it was just suffering for the sake of it.
Well, let's end on a high note anyway.
No, well, that was a high note for them. It wasn't a good performance. They'll be back. They'll do well, hopefully, at the British Open and do well at the national finals. But again, they totally missed it on this one.
Well, that's all the bands. The contest itself, it's established itself as a true international event now. Is it moving in the right direction?
I think so, especially if they keep carrying on choosing test pieces like this. I think this is where the secret will lie, something really different.
I think it's true to say that the standard of the international bands is improving as well. You can see they're making a much greater mark in the event now. Mm-hmm. So I think.
Do you think we can see more overseas bands at this event in the future?
Maybe. I don't know whether or not the Norwegians can come over here or whatever. It may be a bit far and a bit expensive. But the ones that are coming over from Belgium and Holland are now starting to really make a mark. And I don't think it'll be before long before they'll be taking many more of the prizes.
Yeah, and it's good for the standard international band in general. So I'm sure we're delighted to see these bands doing well. But what they have to do for the event is start bringing in a real audience.
Yeah, there was only, I think there was about 200 people, if that, for the first band, the first couple of bands on. It was really sparse. Yeah,
it was disappointing. And while we're giving credit to the organisers for picking a great test piece, it certainly wasn't one that was chosen to appeal to a great cross-section of band in. If only they had known.
If only they had known. But again, I think it's the way forward. It was fantastic. It really was fantastic music, and we congratulate them. Again, the organisation here at the Masters is excellent. The weather was awful, which didn't help. But in a way, it helped the bands, because the hall, which is usually like a sauna, was at least comfortable for the bands to play in. It's not a great venue for the bands to actually play on the stage.
And contest highlights then?
Well, an easy one for me. Great to see Major Peter Parks back performing at his very best on a real piece of music. We don't always get that chance these days. It's the first time I've actually seen him conducting for a couple of years. Great to see him still in the autumn of his career, I think it's fair to say. But still,
or the early winter, possibly. late autumn, early winter.
Still producing some really great moments with a band that haven't really done so well lately.
I agree with him. If he was in front of Black Dyke at their peak, it was like rolling back the years seeing him doing that. The other highlight for me was the standard of some of the top class corner playing. Kirsty Abbott, Dave Smith from Desford, yep. Mark Wilkinson. You know, it's great to see players who can really play in such a lovely, sweet, lyrical fashion. It's an art form that's getting lost, I think, in modern-day brass band. But it was great to hear that as well.
But as long as we keep picking pieces like that for contests, they've still got a chance to show it, that they can do it.
Yeah, it really does. So those are highlights for me as well on the playing side of it.
And lowlights then?
Well, for me, there was one big disappointment, especially in light of Ewan's fantastic prediction that they were going to finish in the top three. But I just thought Hepworth failed miserably on this one, and I was actually looking forward to a considerably better performance from them.
I'd have to agree. I think, but they weren't alone. I think there was a number of bands, and to see some of the terrible conducting that was going on. You know, we're not going to name names, but it was like seeing an octopus in a blender. It was some of them with arms, legs, everything going in. All they had to do was stand back and let the music flow. And there were some great examples, Nigel Boddis, Nigel Seaman, Peter Parks, Nick Childs. They just stood back and let the music flow, and as a result, it sounded so much better. Yep. But some of them...
just missed a point.
Yeah, there we are.
Well, I think we'll wrap things up there. Thank you, gentlemen. Congratulations, of course, to Foden's Richardson and Gary Cutt for winning the 2007 All England Masters International. Thanks to Polyphonic for use of the music, and thanks to the Fairy Band and Philip Lawrence for the podcast theme. We leave you now with some more of Foden's winning performance. Goodbye.